This is the Orange Podcast, conversations with Orange City Council for the local community.
This is Alan Reader, and after much too long a COVID-induced break, we are palpably delighted to be back in the chair for the Orange Podcast. This week we'll be discovering two very different stories that are emerging from two very different buildings right here in Orange. Later, we'll hear how a 1920s vintage stock and station agent premises selling stock feed in Lord's Place has been transformed into a contemporary, sun-drenched office while still acknowledging the building's history.
The architectural devices that we use are really significant because it's the preservation of the facade and bringing the facade to prominence, which it wasn't before. And then when you do the new construction, to have adequate separation from the old facade between the old and the new, so there is a gap. We've developed that as an atrium, which is a double height space, but it allows the facade to actually be revealed and have its own integrity.
More from Orange businessman Tony Cheney later in the program. For as long as the community of Orange has been around, there's been reminders of the law and justice system right in the heart of town on high-profile sites. Originally, the site of a colonial police paddock, the corner of Lord's Place and Byng Streets is the location for a succession of impressively large courthouses. For many years, the police station was right next door. It took a matter of minutes for prisoners to be brought from the station cells to the courthouse. So when a new police station was built, it moved just across the road, leaving the former station empty. That led to the Orange Aboriginal Lands Council taking it on and starting the process of not only restoring the derelict station, but the community memories that came along with it. This week, the quality of that restoration project was acknowledged in a presentation of a certificate by Mayor Jason Hamling to the Orange Lands Council and their CEO, Annette Steele.
Originally, the police station obviously was the police station. And when the police moved across the road, that building was then claimable. So we had a land claim under the Aboriginal Land Rights Act.
Mm-hmm.
And we finally received that under claim back in 2000 and maybe 18.
Yep. As wheels grind slowly.
Yep, they do. There was a process for about 10 or 11 years or something. And anyway, once we got it back, we received some funding through Aboriginal Housing Office under their funding scheme to refurbish the building.
Mm. You've had local business offices in town in a couple of locations.
Yeah.
Why is this one going to be better?
It's bigger. We have, originally the Land Council was up in Dalton Street. It was just a small hall. And as we've grown over the years, having more programs and more funded support services through, we outgrew that building. And then we were renting a building in Kite Street, which we outgrew.
Mm-hmm.
So this building now is not only able to house our operational staff, it's a community asset. So the Aboriginal Land Council community, they own the building. And it's accessible because it's in town. It's close to the police station, close to courthouse, close to Kmart, so it's really within walking distance so people can access all of the services that are in there.
By the time you started to look at restoration, it had been empty for a while. I gather it had been used for maybe some training purposes.
What
sort of condition was it in?
It was in a pretty poor state. And you could understand, a poor state the police actually had to be because it wasn't suitable for their purposes anymore. So it was just, the paint was peeling and it hadn't been used for so long. There was, holes in stairs and doors kicked in. And it was used through some of the winter for some of the homeless people to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
We'd found that. So they were coming in through the back and trying to stay warm and out of the weather in there. So it was pretty manky.
How do you come up with the ideas to make it a better place than it was?
Well, we could see the potential in the building. The building is as solid as. There wasn't a crack in the wall. And it was built back when it was built. I think it was built for a kind of a whole bomb situation. If something's going to blow up,
Go
there for safety because they're not going to get rid of that building. Mm. And I guess just looking at the configuration of the building, we removed the cells, obviously, and a lot of the operational space that was used by police, and converted it into some training rooms, meeting rooms, a kitchen, you know, common areas for all our staff and community. The guts, I guess, the stay of the building is still the same. The configuration of upstairs, we didn't do anything structurally except for in putting in a lift and making it future-proof, and reconfiguring the whole cell area because, you know.
What's been the reaction for people as they've wandered past?
We've had a really funny comment. We have had our own builder who was overseeing all of the work, and he was talking to a lady who he knew, and she went, "Have you seen that new building in Bing Street?" And he looked at her and he went, "No, where is it? I'll have to go and have a look." He said, "The one next to the police, to the courthouse." She said, "I walk past there every day and I didn't realise that it had been knocked down and a new one had been built." And he went, "That'll do. We've actually done
That's
the
a
job
compliment.
That we wanted to do."
It's transformed the place.
It has. And you wouldn't, if you didn't know it was the old police station, I don't think you would think that it was one.
I'm guessing,
once upon a time.
I'm guessing in the minds of the local Indigenous community, there's some community memory there that would see that place in a pretty, they have some tough times there. Is transforming it a healthy thing for our own community?
I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that it's turned a place of horror and not nice encounters and experiences into something that now that's welcoming and it's safe, and it now belongs to them. It's kind of like the phoenix out of the ashes. It was, you know, really a horrible, destitute building, which is now something that we're proud of.
And in the middle of an Orange community, in the council on one corner, the courthouse, business all the way around you, you're in the middle now.
Yeah, we are, and it's accessible. A lot of our families don't have transport, and it's really difficult where we were to get access to it. Now when they're in town and they need support, they can come in. We'll have a community legal centre in that building, which is going to be really positive for members just to come and get some advice on the simplest things like housing or fines or, you know, any legal issue. They can come and get that advice from our community legal centre now, and it's going to take the pressure off some of the other legal services just to get that information firsthand so they can have an informed decision on what to do.
A story of transformation. Annette Steele, thanks for your time today.
You are most welcome. Thank you.
While Orange's heritage residential streets often take the focus when it comes to the highlights of the city's architecture, when it comes to retail streets with the most character, it's the block of Lord's Place between Summer and Kite that's well up there. Have a closer look next time you're there. Some buildings have been restored with a range of approaches used, but like the police station, the company behind the latest restoration in Lord's Place received a certificate from Orange Mayor Jason Hamling this week. It was for the quality of the work done on 173 Lord's Place. And the Orange businessman behind the project is Tony Cheney.
Oh, I look delighted, Alan. I mean, I think the thing is not that we're seeking awards, but the I think recognition for construction jobs and restoration jobs through the city is important, and the recognition of those of the achievement of that work. It's not only us, but there were a number of other people that got were recognised today. So that's also worth noting. But I think that you know, from our point of view, this building was significant because it had historic value. It was built in the 1920s, and we wanted to restore the integrity of the original facade of the building, but at the same time make what was a large part of the site, which wasn't really usable in an effective way, a usable building. And we hope that we've achieved that because we've preserved the facade, we've taken it back to resemble what it did in 1922.
What was the history of the building?
Well, the building has always been in its original form, as far as we can understand, was a was a produce store. It was and it was ultimately taken up by elders, and in more recent times, since I guess the 60s, was used as a produce store. So at the back there was a loading dock, there was a shed. You could take trucks. Trucks were much narrower then than they are now, and so they could drive trucks up. They could unload on from the loading dock at the back and come out to the street. But elders over time used it for real estate, for insurance, for selling, farm machinery and produce, and that continued up until the 80s when we acquired it.
When you look at the value, the architectural value of a building like that, it's mostly the facade, I'm guessing.
Yeah, well, the architectural devices that we used are really significant because it's the preservation of the facade and bringing the facade to prominence, which it wasn't before. And then when you do the new construction, to have adequate separation from the old facade between the old and the new, so there is a gap. We've developed that as an atrium, which is a double height space, but it allows the facade to actually be revealed and have its own integrity, and that's quite important when you're looking at older buildings, that you do things which are suitable for the form, the original form, but also give you the amenity of a new and updated building, which can be used in a practical and efficient way.
The facades all the way along that block are probably some of the best anywhere in Orange, if you compare it to Anson Street or other parts of Byng. The facades that are there are across various different time periods, but all characteristic of their time.
They are. And of course, facades have been changed over time. But what you often find is that the facades are hidden by some superficial material, and I mean, I think that's clearly the case with the buildings like the Australia Cinema, and there are others in Lord's Place. I mean, there's a great diversity actually of architectural styles, but also periods of construction and I'm talking here about the southern end of Lord's Place, which is the area we're focused on. But there are some beautiful commercial buildings in that block.
You're a businessman. You need to make money for your investments.
Yeah.
Is just putting that amount of extra work into a building rather than just knocking it down, starting again, going to be good? And tell me why.
I mean, everybody has their own idea about what's a good return on investment. To us, it's not purely a financial question. It is financial to a degree because we know that if we build a good building, that we have no trouble in attracting people who want to occupy it. And from our point of view, from a commercial property point of view, property vacancies are the death of a commercial property investor. So the name of the game for us is to have full occupancy from day one. And when we designed this building, we put it on the market for expressions of interest prior to completion, and we had it fully signed up before the building was completed, and the people were then ready to move in, and they've all entered into long-term leases because they all want to be there. So that, and we also have the opportunity to pick and choose businesses which we think have got long-term viability. So all of that worked for us. In terms of whether or not it represents what some investors would call an adequate return on capital, is, you know, that's a matter for judgment. For us, we got a reasonable return, you know, but some people are looking for inflated returns or more than a site will justify. I think if you're realistic about it and you want to do a combination of a good building and an adequate return and have long-term security of the occupants, then I'm very satisfied with the way we've done this, and I think it's fulfilled all of those objects.
It also talks about a commitment to the community of Orange, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think in everything, the approach we've made. Now, when I say we, I'm talking about myself and my wife, because we've together, done this and other projects around the town. You know, if you approach it from the point of view of enhancing the amenity of the of the locality, whichever it is, whether it's in residential or it's in commercial, I think if you take that approach, you end up producing something which is of long-term benefit. But often you think, I could have done it in an easier way. But then it doesn't give you quite the same sense of satisfaction.
Tony Cherney, thanks for your time today.
Okay, thanks, Alan.
Lord's Place and the Orange Lands Council. Two buildings, both worth a look next time you're out and about. And that's the Orange Podcast for this week. Remember, you can download this program anytime from the Orange City Council website or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The Orange Podcast is produced on Wiradjuri Country. Until next time, this is Alan Reader. Bye for now.